Well, we have gotten the people who are on the other side of the cameras on camera, on the podcast. It took a lot of arm twisting, but Tom and Anna, thank you for being here. Tom, you are our film director. Anna, you are our producer. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we can talk about the differences of that, but you both work on the film team and have helped make this podcast happen from the very beginning. Now you kind of have other roles to where you've delegated and empowered people to run it, but really we're the helping launch this. But today we're going to talk about film and church and how, when should we make a film? What happens when we talk about a funny film? What about a serious film? There's a lot of questions that people have around that, and you two are the experts, or at least our resident experts.
We're available.
Today. Available. Yeah. Available today. A couple of our other film team is out of town, so we got you guys. But maybe if you could start, Tom, you've been on the team for a long time. Mm-hmm. And maybe talk about how your role has evolved, but what the film director does. And then the producer role, I think, is mm-hmm. something for those who work in the industry, maybe understand that. Mm-hmm. But in the church space, maybe there's not very many producers. They say, I'm sure. The director, producer, editor, filming, you know, storyboarder, all the above. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask a lot of questions about films, and we've never lost a patient. So
might be the
awesome.
First.
Yeah, the film department has evolved quite a bit since I've been here. And it was really a one-man band in the beginning.
How many years has it been since you were on the team?
It's been over 20 years, 21 years.
So I was six.
So you were six. Yep. I was in college, single guy in college when I started. And so it looked very different then because it was me producing content, borrowing gear from school and, you know, setting up lights in whatever room I could and making videos that, you know, it was kind of like funny videos were the videos to make at the mm-hmm. time. It was like a road trip and you do something, you know, trying to do something funny or mimic TV shows like The Office or anything at HGTV at the time. So at that time, I was doing a lot of different roles in one job, even doing weekend production on the video side, like running the video side of weekend production. And as time went on, there was more of a demand for film. And so we were able to add people. And so one of the guys, Nick, who's out of town right now, he's in the Boundary Waters. Mm. He came on about 15 years ago. So he's been on the team for a long time. And then Anna's 10 years as well. Yeah. So longevity, which is pretty awesome. But today there's a team that make up the film team, part of the creative team. And I get to oversee that team. And something I've learned that as the years go by, I'm not the most creative person in the room, and that's okay. But I get to be involved in projects that I'm super proud of. And every year we get to do more and more fun stuff. So it's been a journey.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot of places that and videos that we've done throughout the years. And like you mentioned, the humor to very serious things, to long form now with podcasts that we weren't mm-hmm. doing until, you know, a few years ago. And I think the longevity piece is super cool to see how it's grown. Like films that you look back and you go, I made that, but the quality is nowhere near what it is now, but I think that's okay. And mm-hmm. I think there are probably a lot of people who are listening who identify with where you started, maybe mm-hmm. today. Yeah. And they say, I am the person that runs production on the weekends right. and is the one who's asked to do film and maybe also doing other roles and small groups or, you know, whatever it yep. is. And so I think today it can be helpful for both that person there or people like us who have a large film team, who have a large mm-hmm. creative team who can divvy out responsibilities mm-hmm. among places, which of course, Anna brings your role mm-hmm. as a producer. Talk about what you do as a producer mm-hmm. and how that helps all the different people on the team, because typically you're not behind a camera or you're mm-hmm. not manning a camera, but right. you are making sure that the shoot is happening.
Yep.
What are the responsibilities that you take over that are different from maybe someone else on the film team?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not on the camera. I'm not doing the editing, but I do a lot of things in between. So it kind of help see projects start to finish. I function a lot, very similar to a project manager. So a lot of people might understand it in that way. But as producer, I get to speak into projects a little bit more and get to have a little bit more say in the creativity of it as well. And so, yeah, I help take in projects, help see them all the way to completion, kind of help keep the team organized and help help assign edits to everybody and get previews back to the departments. And I'm kind of the in-between between the ministries and departments and our team. And Tom is as well. We're in a lot of meetings together as well. But yeah, so kind of similar to a project manager, but I guess I get to speak into things a little bit more and help form things a little bit more than just kind of see the project to the finish line.
And why is it important to have that as the team gets larger? Because I think on some senses, people would say, well, wouldn't you want the person who's making the film or who's editing the film to be in the room? Mm. And wouldn't they want to hear it directly? How have you solved that tension to where you are now communicating as a middle person to the people who are executing and to the ministry that they're serving?
Yeah,
there's pros and cons to both, but how have you... how have you done that? And I think maybe an example that I could think of is lead pastor says to associate pastor or lead pastor says to creative pastor. Mm-hmm. And then the creative pastor communicates it then to the person who's doing it. So regardless of the scale, that telephone game is happening a bit. So how have you helped to overcome some of the challenges with that?
Yeah, I think that it helps us all kind of stay within our strengths a little bit more. You know, we have some filmmakers that are incredible filmmakers, amazing at editing and putting a film together. But I can be the one that kind of helps us figure out even, is this a film that we even want to make? Is this something we should put our time into? Tom and I work on that a lot together. Of like, is this something to put time into? So I help kind of be the gatekeeper a little bit as well of what we're going to make films on and what we're not. And, you know, I get to help bring a lot of those details together. So I'm in those meetings deciding what's the goal of this piece so that as we go through the whole project, we know we have the goal in front of us. I'm helping to, you know, I think having a producer or a project manager in this role is important so that people who are really, really creative and can make things like they do can focus on that and they don't have to get in the weeds and the details of when is this running and where is it running and what, you know, what exports do we need? Is it going on social as well? You know, all those details they don't have to worry about. They can just focus on being creative and I can kind of bring my organization to it. And I resonate a lot with what Tom said too, if I'm not always the most creative person in the room. I actually never saw myself being on the creative team. And it took me a while to even get to a point where I was like, yeah, I could work on the creative team. I love working with creatives, but I'm not a super creative person. And so I can help bring the organization to it and help see things to the finish line, even though I'm not the one actually creating it. So I think it's really important to have someone in that role that isn't doing all the editing and isn't creating everything, is just helping bring all those details together.
Yeah, and whether it's somebody who is a producer for film or not, there is a gatekeeper, right? Whether it may be the associate pastor, it may be the creative pastor, as I mentioned, but what are those things, those questions that you're asking that maybe could be a resource to people listening to, how do we know if this should be a film? How do we know if we should make a video about this? Because I think you've seen this happen over 20 years, Tom. Film has become more relevant, more the expansion of it, it's more people have iPhones, more people, I mean, even at the time of starting, you're not filming stuff with a phone, you know. You like
right away we delivered videos on VHS. Okay, I'm not even joking. So we like the first few were like, "Here's a VHS, run this, play this, push play on the weekend," and then we were authoring to DVD, and then eventually,
So we're
definitely not using phones.
No, but the speed in which something can be done in the TikTok generation of, we'll just make a film about it.
Yeah.
You can put different levels of energy and time into a film, but it still doesn't mean, just because it's easy or simple, doesn't mean that's the right medium. I think we would probably all agree that video is one of the best, if not the best form of, you know, a quick medium level, but in a church service or at a special event, the whole service isn't video, right? And so how have you guys decided, or what are questions that you ask when a ministry approaches you or when Pastor Rob approaches you or fill in the blank person? Hey, we want a video about this. What are some of the questions you ask to determine, is this actually the right medium to communicate this story or announcement?
Yeah.
This is definitely, this is something we're talking about on the creative team, how to decide what to do. Because as you said, every ministry would like us to do more video, and there is,
I can attest.
Yeah, we don't we don't have enough time to do all the videos that are requested. So how do we narrow it down? Some of it has to do with how many people will this reach? How many people in the church are going to be affected by this? Is this something that is going to be online, or is it just for a small group setting? Now, if Pastor Rob asks for a project, then we're going to do it. So there's certain things that if they're asked for, we're just going to do it. And there are other ones that we're going to evaluate. Okay. Instead of some ministries will come and say, hey, can we do a video for this? But what we would rather talk about is, what are you trying to accomplish?
Right.
What are you trying to do in this moment that a film could be the right piece for, and it might not? Let's back up a couple steps and start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anna, what would you say about, you're in a lot of these meetings as well, and I think the heart is right to where a lot of people, they're wanting to accomplish a goal, but, and I don't mean their heart is right, but their logistics are wrong. I think there's a feeling that this is the best way. Shutting someone down is never a fun thing. Yeah. And I know the disposition of your team is, we're going to try to fit it in. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can fit it in, we're going to try our best. Yeah. Yep. But what are maybe examples or specific instances that you can think of, hey, this was a time where they wanted a film and it wasn't the right fit. Or this was a time that they didn't and we actually thought it was the best fit. I don't know if there's things that you can think of that jump.
Yeah, I think it, like Tom said, I think it's really important to start with the goal of, like, what are we trying to accomplish? Because, you know, sometimes it's a capacity thing, right? Sometimes I think we say no for a few different reasons. One might be capacity of, like, we just don't have the time to fit that in. Obviously, again, depending on who it's coming from. Some of it is department. There are certain departments that naturally are going to get more of our time, effort than other departments. Something like Kingdom Builders, that's a huge part of what we do that will always get more time on film on our team than some other departments. Or Sparkle is one of the biggest things we do. We will always put a lot of time into that. So part of it might be department. And then I think project to project, you know, there's certain things that, yeah, like you said, their heart is right. They'll say, you know, they see that film is a really powerful way to communicate. And so they want to use it. But sometimes we go, actually, I think someone on stage communicating that live can bring more excitement and more passion. I know there have been times recently where we're like, you know what? I think Pastor Rob on stage in a live moment can bring more excitement to that and can rally people more than a video can. And so I think it just kind of depends on the project sometimes too, of what it will serve best.
When you decide on a project, how do you know what angle to take a project to? Where is humor the right place? Mm-hmm. Is a very serious, and maybe somber is not the right word, but the tone of the video is very serious to communicate the testimony? Or other videos, the music you select is very upbeat when you start versus starting off more mysterious and inquisitive. How do you know, like, what's your process in, okay, we've been asked to create a giving story about this, or we've been asked to share a testimony video about this. I think it oftentimes you can say, well, testimony videos should be somber at the beginning and it should be happy at the end. And a lot of times that's true. But I mean, if we looked at the level of films that we've produced, we've had all different levels of engagement and emotion and style. So when you get given a project that you've agreed to, you feel like it is the best medium, whether that be for a conference or a weekend, what are some of those questions that you ask yourself and how you develop, okay, this is going to be a great sense of humor? And I've been in some of those meetings, so I know how it works a little bit, but maybe for those who are listening, how can you uncover what is the best angle to take?
Usually it starts with, now if it's a funny piece, we were trying to produce something funny, which is one of the hardest things to produce. Usually the ask is there, hey, we want a funny moment in this event, in this service. We're looking for some levity. We usually start with that. We probably wouldn't approach a salvation story and say, how do we get a funny angle out of this? Mm-hmm. I think with stories, we start with the story. Who's communicating it? What's the story? And what's the best way to tell that story? There was a story a few years ago that we shared of a family in the church who was in a pretty bad car accident. And we told that story after there was healing that happened, after they had come through it. But we decided to tell the story in a way where we only heard from the husband who wasn't in the car accident for most of it. And then at the very end, we bring his wife in, who you're not sure if she lived through this process. You don't really know. And we could have just interviewed the two of them together, but the decision was made, hey, I think if we kind of bring people along this journey as he went through this journey, not knowing kind of what was going to happen to his family, when we revealed what happened in the healing, I think that's going to be more impactful. So we shaped that story mm-hmm. and how that film came together based on the story.
How do you avoid feeling like you're manipulating a story? You know, mm-hmm. because I agree. Like, I know that story. I remember even her walking. You kind of see her footsteps mm-hmm. walking yep. in, and that ended up being shared a lot in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But how do you know when you are making a story versus you're telling a story? Does that make sense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a fine line to walk. And I think we stay in communication with the story. Anna will do pre-interviews for every story. So she'll get on a Zoom call or a phone call, talk through the story. We mm-hmm. don't want to just say, hey, someone recommended we tell your story. Come on in, let's film it. Mm-hmm. We'll do a pre-interview. We'll talk them through the story. What's the story that's there? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the story we're given isn't quite what's there. And right. so we're like, okay, here's the story. Here's how we put it into our formula, a story arc that we're trying to mm-hmm. tell over 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the process, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think going back to your other question too of how you create it, I think it depends on the space too that you're mm-hmm. in. You know, I think about something like coming up as Mother's Day and you know, a Mother's Day piece might be a little bit more like we kind of put ourselves in the room. Okay, if I'm sitting in the room and I'm sitting in service, where is this running? You have to kind of think through, you know, the format that this is playing in. That feels like it could bring some levity and some fun and some humor. And so I think it depends on where it's running for sure mm-hmm. and kind of thinking through that service. Thinking through what's needed, but especially to going back to the story and how we tell it. I think the pre-interview is a huge part of that. I think it really helps us stay true to the story and not just kind of tell a story, but no, is this really it? And, you know, not to over-spiritualize it, but also I think being in prayer of like, okay, Lord, guide us in this, like give us, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and like, do I have a check about this? Like, okay, this feels like we're maybe changing it a little bit too much. Let's come back and look again at what is this story and how are we supposed to tell this in the right way? Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to think that people are going to get it mm. when you are in it. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you know the story, even yep. you talked about, I know the story, I heard it. First the campus pastor told me, then I heard it from them. Mm-hmm. Then we wrote this kind of the arc and we did everything. But then you actually see how it's received. Mm-hmm. And you've created some processes to, I think, eliminate some of those barriers of you play it and it totally bombs. I think it was a mm-hmm. couple years ago at conference, we had a video. I can't remember which one it was, but I'm remembering that we played it and people didn't get it. Or maybe it was Sparkle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
what it was. And people yeah. just did not get that
yep.
it was not, I think it was his words were dubbed over.
Well, yeah, it was during COVID. So what we did was Nick went around like interviewing people in the lobby and he had a mask on, but we changed his question later so that it seemed goofy. But you couldn't see his mouth, so it just sounded like he was asking people that question. It didn't seem like you overdubbed it and switched it later.
Well, it was meant to kind of like be a joke on how they responded, yeah. but yeah. nobody got that it was a joke. And so people were just, huh, they responded weird. And then it kind of made the women look dumb, but I mean, it was fine. Like, it didn't create a storm, but I just remember right afterwards we were...
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Logan.
Not our greatest.
That wasn't. So sometimes yeah. they don't hit, but there are ways we can help to solve that problem yeah. in some ways.
Right. And I think that's an effort on our part to, hey, we've done this formula of these characters at events for so long. How do we switch it up and do something different? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, people just want the same product sometimes.
Right.
So I think you have to keep in mind, new isn't always the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes repeating that formula works the best. And sometimes you're like, we have to switch it up and try something new. Because it's not hitting anymore.
Yeah, we saw it with yeah. check signing video. Like yeah. we didn't do it 1 year. Everyone, why didn't you do that? Okay, fine.
It's we'll a classic
yeah.
example.
Yes, yeah. yeah. We've tried doing it different ways. We pitched something different a couple years ago to Pastor Rob and it was like, no, let's just do it. We've been doing it. Works. Yeah. People love it. Stick with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. When you think about film and moments in a service, something that we've, even with conferences, is a moment that I've seen, at least I'm not in on every single place, but how it's sandwiched in service mm-hmm. is something that I think we don't put maybe enough thought into, and or maybe recently we've put more thought into that. I, even at conferences last year, I think there were pieces where we said, oh, where that was in service, we actually thought about before we finished the final cut, mm-hmm. who's coming up on yep. stage, mm-hmm. because will that be weird if they were just in the video, or would it be better if they were just mm-hmm. in the video and they can kind of have a laugh about it? Those were the Confessions of a Pastor pieces yep. that yep. we were thinking through. And so those are moments as well that I think you have to think about, not only how is this going to be received when I'm watching it on the preview link before it goes mm-hmm. up, but then how, what's on the front end? Is it a special song that's very somber? And then you right. go to do, you know, the music's really loud. And we've all been to conferences where we've seen that happen. And I'm going, oh my goodness, did you not think about where right. this was playing in service?
Yeah.
What are some processes that you guys have taken to, is it just that simple to say, we just got to put it in the service order? Or sometimes you don't know who's going to mm-hmm. be on stage that mm-hmm. fast or that far in advance, mm-hmm. or you don't know exactly what song is being played. Are there ways to solve that problem or at least mitigate that to where, okay, this is happening? Or it's sometimes you just have to say, we got to roll with it, or we got to cut the video. It's just not going to work in this situation.
I think both have happened. Yeah. It's a little bit easier to plan out for conferences because there's, you know, the video plays and we know who's coming up after. Now, on a weekend with all of the campuses we have, if we run a film in the announcement space, we're not sure who's going to come up after mm-hmm. or how it's going to be set up. At the campus I go to, there's an extended greeting time before announcements. So if you start with a film at that moment, you miss a lot of it because people are still standing up talking and it's mm-hmm. a very community moment. So we've tried some things like, can we do a live announcement real quick right there and then throw it to a video? But you're going to miss something in that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we have noticed that at some conferences where a really heavy story is shared and then maybe the guest speaker, you know, we've started sending films to the guest speakers that are mm-hmm. coming. Hey, this is what's going to play before you go up. But when we haven't done that, sometimes there's just it doesn't connect with their yeah. message that they're bringing and then the story that we just told.
Yeah. Right.
And you've set up this moment that does kind of falls flat.
We had a fail at conference 3 years ago with Mark Batterson to where we made a funny video with Mark and the video that it was like a Zoom call that you and Nick were doing with yeah. Mark. And you were asking these questions. And
it was a fake Zoom call.
Yeah, it was a fake Zoom call. Yeah. Yeah. But you were like sending in clips from a message that he preached.
Yeah,
and you were, take him out of context.
Yeah.
It was yep. super funny. But that was the message, that same message that he was prepared to preach that day was the message that you had cut the clips from. Mm-hmm. And Mark is more, he's a more of a manuscript type preacher because mm-hmm. he's mm-hmm. such a good author. And so it's just funny, as he got to those points in his message, you could just tell him deflate a little bit and right. then repeat back what was said in the video. And he played it off so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, these are moments where I just think people don't necessarily think through all those
yeah.
things. And we went, oh,
yeah.
we should have thought that was kind of his premier message for conferences.
Right.
We
yeah.
pulled that, you know, and again, there was no malice involved.
Yeah.
But again, hopefully people can laugh at yeah. our failures.
And I think he had seen it beforehand, so I think he knew, but I don't think he knew how it was going to play in the moment.
Right.
And those moments became kind of humorous when they weren't
Maybe
supposed
weren't.
To be.
Right.
Yeah.
I also think it's worked really well sometimes. We had a moment in Sparkle a couple years ago where we had a story that ran, and then the song right after it was perfect for that. Like what the song was about worked perfectly with that story. And we kind of knew as we were leading up that would be it, but it kind of just happened to be mm-hmm. that way. But I think, I mean, for sure, our meeting cadence leading up to it, that helps so much because we're in these planning meetings way in advance. So I think just the earlier you can talk about it, the better. You know, now as we're looking for stories and we kind of start to narrow it down, we'll say as soon as possible in those planning meetings, hey, just so you know, this is the topic of the story. So as you're picking the song coming after that, keep that in mind. And we'll be intentional now about what song comes after that so that it can kind of, you know, play into that a little bit. So
right.
just the earlier I think you can, you know, have those conversations. But yeah, then sometimes you just can't plan it.
Yeah, I think the thinking of a film as an integrated part of your service
yeah.
is so important to rather think it's a separation. Like we're pushing play, almost like the VCR analogy. We're just putting it in, pushing play,
yeah.
and then we'll be right back.
Yeah.
If you have that attitude that it's a separate part, well, then you're probably going to mm-hmm. feel that versus, no, this is a flow moment mm-hmm. right through. This is intentional. And I think sometimes people can have that attitude with film is, it separates it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we try hard to have it feel more integrated. Switching gears to a totally different topic, interviewing people.
Mm-hmm.
You guys here, you're more used to being behind the cameras. I pulled you into being in front of the cameras. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who cameras are very scary for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not they don't really want to be in front of camera. Mm-hmm. Even people on the podcast before have said, oh my goodness, this is the first time I've ever been on camera for anything, like in a professional capacity. How do you prepare people who are sharing testimonies? They're not actors. They're not professionals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult. What are ways that you can prepare those who are maybe sharing their story, even if they're just an extra in the background, mm-hmm. to help a volunteer mm-hmm. who's a part of your church, who has no experience, maybe theater when they were in 10th grade, to now be the featured story in a film that, in our case, is going to be shown to 10,000 plus people mm-hmm. on a weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that sometimes I just tell them that most people actually don't feel comfortable being on camera. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that we interview that we're having them tell their story or something like that, I would say the majority don't feel comfortable. So sometimes I just remind people that, like, hey, just so you know, you're not alone. Like, everybody that you see on camera, all those films that you see, you go, wow, that was really great. They actually felt really uncomfortable too. So sometimes it's just reminding them of that. I think the pre-interview helps a lot because most of the time I'm doing the pre-interview and the interview. So I used to do them in person, and now after 2020, I just do Zoom calls. So that helps a lot, mm-hmm. just be able to jump on a Zoom call and I'll talk through their story, you know, with them ahead of time. So then they're getting to know me a little bit. That helps a ton because then when they show up, mm-hmm. I'm often the one on the other side of the camera asking the questions. So it feels a little bit more disarming that they know me a little bit. We've already talked through this. So I'll pre-interview them. And then sometimes even when they arrive, I'll still talk through and say, hey, I'm not going off script really. I'm kind of just going to ask you, talk you through your story. Basically everything we already talked about. I'm not going to throw any curveballs, but sometimes I'll even read them the questions. These are the questions I'm going to ask you just so that it kind of puts them at ease. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to go off script here. We're just talking through your story. Sometimes even things as simple as like the slate that we do, sometimes we wait and do that at the end because that can make them feel a little bit more mm-hmm. like, oh, this is like really official and nerve-wracking. You know, sometimes we'll wait to do that at the end. I often will actually pray and then everybody will hit record on cameras while I'm praying just so that there's not this official like action moment, mm-hmm. you know? That kind of helps them forget the cameras are there, hopefully, and just talk to me. We'll often have them looking off camera at me. Sometimes we'll have them looking into the camera, but that is a lot harder for people that are uncomfortable being on camera, looking into a lens rather than looking at a person and just talking to a person. Yeah, those are a few things that come mm-hmm. to mind.
You said, you know, people have to be kind of performing a little bit when yeah. they're on camera. And one thing that we've discussed recently, one person on our film team, Angel, has brought some great ideas around not needing that person to be a great talker, a mm-hmm. great performer like I'm doing right now. I can't think of my words. But taking the pressure off of them and doing more of a based on a true story. So we did this at Youth Conference. Mm-hmm. We're planning to do something like this at Sparkle Conference where we take a story from someone in our church. We do the interview. We get just the same process, but then we take that and put it more into a script form and have someone else perform it. Mm-hmm. And so for Youth Conference, it was more of a reenactment skit. It was like a, I don't know, 8-minute piece that played at Youth Conference, which I will say Youth Conferences, if you do one, it's a great place to try new stuff and try mm-hmm. new things that maybe you can't just run on a weekend. You can test run things. But this is a way for us to say, hey, what's the best story, regardless if that person's a good communicator?
Yeah.
Because even with the pre-interview, even with reassuring, there's some people that it's just really hard to talk on camera, mm-hmm. but they still might have a story that's worth telling. Mm-hmm. And maybe video is not the best format. Maybe it's a written piece. Maybe it's a post. But we're trying something new to say, hey, let's start with the best story mm-hmm. and not think about how they communicate and see if we can still bring the story to life through mm-hmm. film.
Yeah, just recently we finished our series Made for Mondays mm-hmm. and Pastor Rob actually shared a story from somebody who's in our church about how he was the employee of the year at his company and actually couldn't share who he was mm-hmm. and he read the story though and he read mm-hmm. it. And I think that a lot of times it goes back to where we started this conversation to yeah. is a film of that person the best thing? And I think mm-hmm. I think we should start there mm-hmm. because it's authentic, right? We want the most authenticity. That's why I like doing podcasts because you can have a long form discussion about it. You don't need to take the clip and say, we only have 2 minutes. It's like, well, we have as much time as we really need or mm-hmm. as much time as people will listen in their cars or wherever they are. Mm-hmm. But if you change that, and I love that we're kind of even reshaping what does a story look like. Mm-hmm. You know, a few episodes ago, we had Ryan on here sharing his testimony, yep. an hour and a half episode. Yeah. My grandma, an hour and a half episode. Yep. Some are 30 minutes, some are an hour and a half. Why? Because it's the story that dictates mm-hmm. how long it should mm-hmm. be. And, you know, you'll see podcasters that have 3-hour podcasts and some they have very high retention rate because people want to listen. Mm-hmm. And then you have also TikTok and Instagram reels that are short form yep. and YouTube shorts. And so we're in this weird age of film and mm-hmm. video to where there's no more rule of, well, no, if a video yep. is 5 minutes, mm-hmm. that's the right length.
Right.
Even in our church, again, I don't know of many other churches that do this. I'm not saying it to try and pat ourselves on the back, but we've done these cool interview formats. Typically, every other year, we'll do a series, or maybe even every year. We did Too Far From the Farm, mm-hmm. where we're actually interviewing. The sermon itself is like a sermon interview that's pre-recorded, that's on set. We did multiple related to astronomy mm-hmm. and I almost said astrology. We didn't do that. But astronomy and how that ties back and science and God. And so I think there are creative ways to say, oh, well, we want a 3-minute film. In that series, I think some of them were like 10 minutes. Yep. Others were 6.
Yep.
Maybe there was one that was 3. And so we've just found that there aren't really rules anymore.
Yeah.
But put a caveat on that. Just because there aren't rules anymore doesn't mean we should just say, well, we can do our video because there aren't rules anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be engaging. So when you think, maybe we can close on that thought, when you think about how long a film should be,
mm-hmm.
there are certain things that are time constraints mm-hmm. where you say, if this is an announcement video, we have a generic 2 to 4 minutes. Kind of it has to be there just to make sure our service gives enough time for worship and sermon. And, mm-hmm. you know, that brings up a whole different idea of don't quench the spirit and allow the service to go as long as it needs to go. All right, well, then people are going to start leaving and they're not going to be there to hear it. So mm-hmm. there is an argument around that. But how do you guys decide how long's too long? Mm. Is it a short? Is it a long form podcast? Is it, even if it is a great conversation or a great story, how do you prioritize cutting down the time versus keeping those things in? Because that is a mm-hmm. difficult mm-hmm. decision to make as an editor or mm-hmm. as somebody who's submitting it. Well, you cut out my favorite part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think where you play it says a lot to the length. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we used to play videos that were maybe 5 minutes long, and now the average is 2.5 to 3 minutes. Just part of it is that time in service is very precious. You know, mm-hmm. there's how much time are we going to use for announcements? How many songs? So you're trying to fit it into this service that's trying to end at a certain time. So where you're going to play it is a big deal. If it's something like, obviously podcasts don't have a length. There are pieces that we used this year leading up to 21 days. We had Pastor Kirk interview some people, and that was a little bit longer form. That was, I don't know, 6 to 10 minute interviews. And it felt like that was great for that platform. But running that on a weekend, I think would have felt awkward. And sometimes when you're playing a film for people who haven't seen it yet, maybe in previews, we do a lot of previews,
yep.
and you kind of watch to when people start taking their phone out and mm-hmm. start scrolling. You're like, okay, this is where the story gets dull. This yep. is where people are starting to check out. And I don't think that there's a set time. We've played films that are a minute long, and we've played ones that are that one about the accident. That was a longer form that we played on a weekend. And that was the right amount of time for that mm-hmm. story. So mm-hmm. I don't think there's rules, but also you can't just say every film is going to be 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, the philosophy of leave people wanting more, not wanting to turn it off.
Right.
So lean that way a little bit more, lean towards it being a little shorter, and see what you get out of the piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the preview thing is a huge win for us, and having someone that hasn't seen it before. And we always go back to the department. So if this ask came from the department, then we'll always bring it back to that stakeholder mm-hmm. and say, hey, here's where it's at. I think the more you can preview in person is really helpful. Sometimes we'll invite them to preview it together so that you can see some of those nonverbal things. But yeah, I agree. Just seeing how long it's engaging, and not everybody always realizes that, you know, we're looking for those things. Some people might watch a 5-minute video and be like, yeah, it was good. I missed this part. Like, you have to kind of really tune into those things. But I think just seeing how long it's engaging and not trying to make it longer than that.
I will also say weekly, we do a media walkthrough on mm-hmm. Thursday mornings in our Apple Valley Auditorium. And that's great because we walk through every moment of the service. We put up every slide that's going to be played. We play every video, bumper, pre-roll. And if there's a film piece, we'll play it in that room. And sometimes it just takes being in that room and mm-hmm. putting yourself in a service, not actually sitting in service, but being like, this is going to be full of a lot of people. And when this plays, is that moment going to feel weird? Or you get a different headspace. It's almost like when you invite someone to church, you're hyper aware of what people are saying and what's happening. So I think that is a valuable place to get a feel for something more than just like, hey, come over to my computer and take a look at this.
Right. Yeah. And you have a creepy mannequin on stage that,
Carl.
Yeah. Carl is the name of the mannequin. Yeah. One last thought.
That is purposeful.
It's yes. It's to see the depth of field and to see how it looks behind
look
somebody.
Look at what's going
to
be on screen behind. Yeah.
It just is creepy. But I have one thought on short form content, and then would love, as we close, if you guys just share maybe something that you would want somebody who doesn't work in this space, because there's probably people listening that are in this space. Maybe they're responsible for film, or they oversee this area at their church, or they're just interested in learning more. And then there's another group of people that just say, I like this podcast, and I don't care what the topic is. I just listen to it. Maybe if you have a closing thought for that crowd, that maybe they're a pastor or a ministry leader that isn't in this space, maybe how they could either help somebody in film or encouraging mm-hmm. them. If just something that you would want them to know, almost like if an executive pastor was here from another mm-hmm. church, and an associate pastor was here from another church, what would you tell them based upon our conversation? But on short form, this is something that I've really kind of grabbed a hold of and really tried to, just learn about how it works. We've had obviously some clips that have gone and places that are crazy that I never would have thought have gotten millions of views and such. But the thing that I think about is, you know, and you'll hear this online with like, you need a hook for short form content, like mm-hmm. what's keeping them on. Mm-hmm. The hook obviously is incredibly important, but that's not news. I think everyone knows on short form content, you gotta keep them there. Otherwise, they're gonna just keep swiping through and scrolling. The thing that I've actually found is how does it resolve, especially on Instagram, how does it resolve? Because if it resolves to a point where you feel complete, you're more likely to share it versus mm-hmm. if it feels like you're wanting more on a short form content, you're probably just going to keep going because like that doesn't make a lot of sense. And so the way I really think about it is, does the story arc in 20 seconds but there's really no trick to how long it is. Like our most watched one is the maximum amount of time you can have as a reel. It's like 100 or 1 minute, 24 seconds, and you can only have 90 seconds as a reel. And that was the Ryan Skoog one but he tells a story and it brings you along the journey. And so I've just found the Instagram clips for me, at least, that have performed well. Obviously they have a good hook that keeps people, but they resolve in a place that doesn't feel like you just cut this out of context. Mm. Yep. It feels like, no, this was meant for me. And I think the same could probably be true about something in a service. If somebody's going to come up and do a ministry moment afterwards, you might not want it to resolve. Mm-hmm. You might want to leave it open. And then they come up on stage and say, maybe you're feeling how they felt. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they get to close it. So I do think it's interesting to think about, depending on where it's being played, you may want it to resolve. You may not want it to resolve. You may want it to go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Or you may want to lead into a song to where you worship God and it's not about the video. It's right. So just things in my head that were stuck in my head and were rattling around. So
yeah.
That's great.
What was your question?
Anything to those who are, again, we've talked specifically to a lot of the creative people film, but those who maybe go, I don't know that I'm even going to work in this space, but I may lead people that work in creative spaces, or I may ask for a film someday. What would you say to those people who they aren't on the film team or involved in the execution of it, but they're still maybe responsible for requesting or leading people in that area?
Mm-hmm. I have two thoughts, and they might contradict each other a little bit. One is a lot of things in this space take longer than you think, and are, even if it's like, hey, just do a simple, sometimes making something look simple takes more effort. So I'll say a lot of things take more time, but on the other side, don't limit yourself because you don't think you're a creative person. Mm-hmm. And we all have tools. Like you said, our phones are some of the best cameras that we're going to use. You don't have to be in this space full time to produce this kind of work. I mean, there's never been a better time for people to make videos and get them out for people to see. So the platform is there. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say a little bit of, you stole my answer. The first one things take longer than you think. So I think the earlier you can get things in front of the film team, the video team, the better, just because, you know, I mean, we've already started talking about Sparkle Stories, and Sparkle is many months away. So depending on the project, it may have a lot of, lead time leading into it. So I think getting ideas in front of creative people as soon as possible, just knowing that it might take a while to flesh it out, to find the right story, to figure out the best way to tell it. It might not be a 2-week thing. I would say most of our projects take at least a month start to finish of pre-production and then filming and the couple weeks of edit time and previews. And so all of that can take more time. But I also think, there's so much power with filmmaking. And I think that you can... You know, we kind of said the opposite earlier, too, of like not everything needs a film. But I also think film is an incredible way to tell a story and to communicate something. And it can really move people in a way that just a live announcement can't. So, again, I'm kind of contradicting myself what I said earlier. It's still true. Not everything should be a film. But I think sometimes you can take things and go, man, how can we move people in a different way? Because you really can inspire people and challenge people in a different way with film that maybe a different medium can't, that you can't just do with an email or with a social post or with a live announcement. So I think thinking outside of the box in that way, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good and very helpful. And maybe there's people listening and they say, I have more questions. I work in the space, or I want to maybe work in the space, or I want to do good on my pastoral team or do good for my church. First of all, I would say come to conference because we always have time to connect with you guys. Yep. We have different breakouts where we talk about creative and film. You guys are there, usually have gear around answering questions. And so come to conference in July. That is our plug for that. Maybe they just listened to an ad before this for conference. Well, here's your second ad, or you're about to listen to it after this episode ends. And then lastly, people can email network@rivervalley.org and just we'll relay it over to you guys and get questions. If there's questions about gear, questions about, hey, you mentioned that in the podcast and want to follow up. I know you guys have that. You also have a River Valley Creative Instagram that occasionally will throw up things that are of that nature.
It's not real consistent yet.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. But thank you both for being on the podcast. Thank you for allowing me to get you on screen. I know this was helpful for many people, and maybe we'll do it again. Maybe we won't. But if not, we'll have people join a conference.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Logan.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Talking Church on YouTube. If you like this podcast, would you like this video so more people can find it, as well as leave a comment? We'd love to know what you liked about this episode, what was most meaningful to you, as well as other topics you'd love to see in the future. And of course, subscribe to this channel so you don't miss an episode. We have awesome episodes coming up. I also want to send you an invitation to River Valley Conference. It's July 8th and 9th, and we are in for an amazing treat because we have Sammy Rodriguez coming. If you never heard him preach, he is a preacher of all preachers. He's coming. We have Dr. Alan Tennyson coming back, who's going to share his theology wisdom. We have Johnson and Jenna from Elevation Church that are going to be leading worship. And we're just so excited for all that's going to happen. Of course, Pastor Rob will be there. I'll be there. We'll have amazing breakout guests as well. So if you have not signed up, sign up for River Valley Conference. And we hope to see you here in July. And we hope to see you next week on next week's Talking Church episode.